One of the most damaging aspects of hurricanes is not the storm itself, it's what happens afterwards. Both Hurricane Katrina and Superstorm Sandy showed communities that were not prepared for the storm's surges and flooding. This hurricane season, the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration is rolling out new tools to improve forecasts and communication. James Franklin is the branch chief of NOAA's Hurricane Specialist Unit. He joins us now from the National Hurricane Center. Good morning.
Good morning.
So tell us, is this your busy season? Are you really gearing up at this point at the National Hurricane Center?
You know, the busiest time of year for us is actually the 1 or 2 months immediately before the start of hurricane season. You know, April and May, we're doing a lot of preparation for the season. We do a lot of outreach, trying to get people to understand what's coming. And then in June, it actually calms down a little bit before the heart of the season rolls around.
So you have time for radio interviews.
That's right. This is a good time.
All right. So tell us about that work over the past couple of months. We understand that you have new tools that you're hoping will help communities be better off this season.
We have two new graphical products that we're introducing this year. One of them has to do with storm surge. It's a potential storm surge flooding map. A lot of folks don't understand the threat that's posed by storm surge, and typically we've communicated that threat with text, with words, and it's very hard for people to see that. But we have a new graphic this year that's going to show people the land areas that could get flooded by storm surge waters and how high above the ground those waters could reach. It's a very nice graphic. It takes into account the potential forecast errors and really tells people what a reasonable worst-case scenario could be for flooding in their area.
And so what does it take to build a map like this? What did NOAA have to do to create this graphic?
Well, because a lot of the uncertainty in storm surge has to do with the storm not going in exactly the place that we're forecasting or being as strong or as large, what we basically have to do is take a storm surge model, it's called SLOSH, and we run it many, many times using different possible tracks that the storm could take. And then you put all of those tracks together, and you can estimate the risk of different amounts of flooding at different locations. So it's very nice in that it takes into account forecast uncertainty. None of our forecasts are exactly right, and you have to take into account uncertainty to really tell people what the risk is.
Now, is this something that came out of analyzing, and I'm guessing you analyzed to death what happened during Superstorm Sandy, because many people who lived along the eastern coast didn't really understand that they were, in fact, in danger.
Oh, this really predates Sandy. We've been trying to work to communicate storm surge better for a long time. Storm surge historically is the threat that kills more people than any other threat. And we've known that for a long time, but it takes a lot of computing power to run this model many, many times. And to the other thing that's important about this is that it takes into account the elevation of the land. So to put out a product that shows flooding above the ground as opposed to flooding above sea level, which nobody understands, actually requires a very good geographical topographic database. And so that all of that computation is what we've had to develop.
And you said that this map is replacing a text warning that you used to give. Can you just give us a sample of what one of those warnings might say, what we might have heard?
Well, this will supplement the text information that's in our text advisories. We would say something like storm surge flooding of 10 to 15 feet is likely over portions of New Jersey, Long Island, and so on, without specifying, really location by location on a community level where it could be. And storm surge is very, very variable over distances of a few miles, and the risk varies significantly over distances of a few miles. So to make that broad brush statement in a text product where you don't have the room to get into specifics, that just is much better conveyed with a picture.
So this picture would be viewed by whom? Emergency management people locally, or can the general public somehow access the particular map?
No, it'll be on our website, so everybody will be able to see it. The idea is to help the general public understand the risk better by being able to see how this storm surge flooding could evolve. And then hopefully by understanding the risk better, they'll respond to the instructions given by the emergency managers. We want folks to better comprehend their risk so they could respond to what they're told to do.
We're speaking with James Franklin, and he's the branch chief of the Hurricane Specialist Unit at NOAA's National Hurricane Center. Give us some idea of how you evaluate the impact that your tools, be them text messages or tables or maps or whatnot, have on people, and how you use that evaluation to create new tools like this one.
You know, that's tough. We do get a lot of feedback, and one of the things that we do in the off season is attend a lot of conferences where that media go to, that emergency managers go to. So we're constantly in touch with our core partners over the course of the season. They tell us where we need to improve our services and what kinds of products would help them do their job better. So it's by interacting with folks in the community where we get a lot of these ideas, and we bounce ideas off of them.
Now, the what I'm looking at is a picture of a piece of the west coast of Florida. Have you been able, do you have the firepower, I guess, to map the entire coast of the United States so that you can issue a map for wherever a storm might hit?
Yeah, and the way this works is that when the official forecast of the storm's path and strength and size gets made by our hurricane forecasters, that official forecast goes into a process. It actually takes about an hour to run, where all of the different possible scenarios based on that official forecast are run. The map is constructed and then released. So within about an hour of our advisory release time, this map will populate on our website.
So tell us a little bit about what else is ahead this hurricane season and what's on the frontier.
So we have one other new graphic that we're introducing on July 1st, actually, and this will be a five-day graphical tropical weather outlook. What this is we have a discussion, and we've done this for a long time, of areas of disturbed weather and their potential for development into a tropical cyclone over 2 days. A couple of years ago, we extended that text discussion out to five, and on July 1st, we're going to have a graphic that shows where systems could form into tropical cyclones out to 5 days. So it'll kind of be a swath. It'll look a little bit like the cone that I think a lot of folks are used to looking at for existing cyclones. But this will be for disturbances even before they become tropical cyclones. Gives people an additional heads up of what's coming 5 days in advance.
And so what is the outlook for this season? Are we expecting above normal, below normal, or average number of tropical storms that could hit land?
Well, you know what? It almost doesn't matter what we're expecting in that regard. If you go back to last year, we were expecting a busy season. We forecast 7 to 11 hurricanes, and we got a grand total of 2. We forecast 3 to 6 major hurricanes, and we didn't get any. So when folks hear our seasonal forecast, first of all, remember, number one, that forecast could be wrong. And secondly, that seasonal forecast doesn't tell you anything about what part of the coastline might be affected. It's not a landfall forecast. It really isn't useful for anybody living along the coast in terms of deciding what it is they need to do this year. Now, having said that, we do expect El Nino to develop, and that typically suppresses hurricanes in the Atlantic. So we're looking for most likely a below normal to near normal season, 3 to 6 hurricanes, 1 to 2 major hurricanes, and 8 to 13 total storms. But again, nobody should make any decisions about how to prepare based on that forecast.
Well, we hope at least that you get to safely try out these tools this hurricane season.
We're looking forward to it. We're looking forward to getting feedback. Both of these are what we call experimental products, which means that we really want to hear what people think about them once we start putting them out, and so that we can improve them.
And any plans for a mobile app so that someone could access these maps, you know, the storm surge flooding map on a mobile device?
You know, that's a good question. There are some tricky aspects of sort of a public versus private partnership in weather, and it's generally been the view of the Weather Service that that mobile apps are largely the purview of the private sector. So we actually haven't developed mobile apps. We have a website, and of course on my iPhone anyway, you can certainly display very nicely our website, and I'm sure that's true of other devices as well. But no, we are not in the business of app development, although we've got a lot of folks in here who would love to be able to do that.
James Franklin is the branch chief of the Hurricane Specialist Unit at NOAA's National Hurricane Center in Miami. James, thanks so much.
It's been my pleasure.